studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Clift and Robin. You can join Clift and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Clift and Robin.
Afternoon to you. I hate time. Daylight savings time or whatever they're calling it. I forgot to set my clock forward in the studio here today, and I'm looking at, you know, getting ready to do show prep and everything, thinking I had another hour to go, and all of a sudden, oh my God, I got 10 minutes. So rush, panic, come to the microphone, throw my papers together, hope that everything's working right. Which, of course, the way things go around here is a challenge in itself. But, so bear with me as I'm still trying to put things together. So there might be a few pauses here. So like I say, just kind of bear with me here in a moment. Cliff is not with me today. that sounds so final. No, Cliff is still feeling under the weather. He's having a little relapse. Hopefully he will be with us today if he can make it, but our prayers go out for him. He's had a really tough couple years, especially the last couple years, between fighting to save his eyesight, having a heart attack, and having to go through surgery, including a minor stroke. And we think that's what's going on now, that he had another minor stroke. So Cliff's a strong one. He's holding in there the best that he can, and so my hat's off to him, and hopefully he'll be okay, and hopefully he'll be back next week. On today's program, by the way, like I say, last week, today may be a short program, but that depends on you. If you give me a call at 646-721-9887 or join me in the chat room, we can make this more than just an hour-long monologue. And if nobody does call and I run out of material, then we'll make the show a little bit shorter. Short show, say that three times fast. 646-721-9887. There's a lot of stuff going on in the news today, as always. And one of the things I kind of wanted to talk on a little bit is about political correctness and just where we're going with that as a nation. I think we're just kind of it's really becoming pretty stupid, if you ask me. That in many respects, I think political correctness has always been kind of dumb. But before I get into all that, I want to get a little bit of business out of the way. Again, 646-721-9887. You know, feel free to give us a call. If you've never called a talk show before, well, this is a good time to start. Just dial 646-721-9887, which is the same number. You can listen to the program while we are live on the air, and when you decide you'd like to participate, then just press 1 on your touch tone, and it'll come up on my board here, and I'll say, welcome to the program, area code so-and-so. So it's just that easy. But first, I want to talk a few minutes about Dancing Dog Cookies. Dancing Dog Cookies are handmade by Tom and Kathy in Eugene, Oregon, and are available at selective distributors in Lane County, which is the county around Eugene, Springfield. They're also available online. They look really cool, and your dog will love them, and they're all natural and healthy for them.
Good dog, Skippy.
Good dog, Skippy.
Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
DancingDogCookies.com. Check them out. Nothing else. They look really cool. like I said, they're all handmade and they're all in little shapes and whatever. Some look like little pancakes. They really do a good job, and your dog will love them. And like I said, they're all healthy, natural made, and Cliff actually loves them too. We can't keep every time Tom sends us some samples. Yeah, you know, you got to keep Cliff's hand out of the cookie jar, so to speak. Anyways, political correctness, 646-721-9887. Political correctness generally is not happening on this program because, for one, it wouldn't go along with the kind of smart alecky stuff that we like to do. But a couple of things I wanted to talk about is what's going on with the Sandra Fluke thing. It's kind of interesting that the more that I look into it, I don't know if it's the more confused that I actually get, or if it's actually what she's trying to say and how the media is portraying it. But, and of course, you know, if you've been following the news at all, some people have actually gotten in trouble over it, such as Rush Limbaugh and whatnot. But now, what happened is that Sandra Fluke went before Nancy Pelosi and their little committee and was testifying about how condoms or contraceptives are not provided in health coverage, and how it can cost a student, or in her case, because she's a third year law student, can cost her about $3,000 during her law school. And I went ahead and listened to her testimony, and you can actually go online to Law Students for Reproductive Justice, which is part of the groups that Sandra Fluke belongs to, LSRJ, and you can read the full transcript of her testimony. But basically what she's saying is that the school that she's at, which is Just Suit, J-E-S-U-I-T, law school, does not provide contraceptive coverage in student health plans. Excuse me. And she's saying that just as we students have faced financial, emotional, and medical burdens as a result, employees and religious affiliated hospitals and universities across the country have suffered similar burdens. We're all grateful for the new regulation, referring to the Affordable Health Care Act, that will meet the critical health care needs of so many women. She's quoted as saying, "It has been heartbreaking to see women's health treated as a political football. When I turn off the TV and look around my campus, I instead see the faces of women affected. I've heard more and more of their stories. You see, Georgetown does not cover contraceptives in its student insurance, although it does cover contraceptives for family or faculty and staff." She continues that without insurance coverage, contraception can cost a woman over $3,000 during law school. For a lot of students who, like me, are on political interest scholarships, it's practically an entire summer salary. 40% of female students in Georgetown Law School report struggling financially as a result of this policy. Okay, all right. Call me dumb, call me naive, or actually just call me 646-721-9887, hint, hint, hint. But when you stop and think about it, I mean, first of all, just $3,000 for a four-year program, I mean, when you break that down, just for, well, like on one of the talk shows recently, they called, it was Walgreens and Kmart, and they asked them, how much does birth control cost? And they said anywhere between $15 and $20 a month. So I don't know where they get $3,000 from. But secondly, this sounds like a huge healthcare crisis. Is that, what, is 40% of the female students of Georgetown Law School just out there begging on the street because they can't afford contraceptives? I mean, when you think about just the thought of how important contraceptives are in somebody's life, especially, you know, you know, contraceptives usually have, when you think about it, one purpose, sex. Well, okay, granted, most students are going through puberty at that time, and yeah, sex is good, et cetera. However, you know, take your priorities. Senator Fluke continues saying that a married female student told her that they had to stop using contraceptives because they couldn't afford them any longer. Well, again, contraceptives, go without. It happens. Anyways, according to Planned Parenthood, birth control pills can be purchased for about $15 to $50 a month. And if you need an exam, that could cost anywhere from $35 to $250. And they said that when the need does exist, referring to the pill, it doesn't accomplish their intended goals, because when you let the university administrators or other employers, rather than women and their doctors, dictate whose medical needs are good enough and whose are health, that doesn't make sense, sorry, takes a backseat to the bureaucracy focusing on her body. Like, what? I didn't know anybody was focusing on anything. Besides that, even if it is prescribed, I mean, what's your copay going to be for something like that? $4? Or would you even have a copay on something that costs anywhere from $10 to $50, according to Planned Parenthood here? But I think what Sandra Fluke was really focusing more on, despite what Rush Limbaugh was accusing her of and had to apologize for, was the medical necessity. According to Ms. Fluke, a friend of hers who was denied repeatedly on the assumption that she really wanted the birth control to prevent pregnancy, where she so clearly had polycystic ovarian cancer, or PCOS, that without taking the birth control, a massive cyst the size of a tennis ball had grown on her ovary, and she had to have surgery to remove her entire ovary as a result. She is currently experiencing night sweats, weight gain, and other symptoms of early menopause as a result of the removal of her ovary. Okay, again, I can understand that, and doing a little bit of research on that, thanks to WebMD, that, yes, using birth control can help keep ovarian cysts down. Actually, it was according to the Mayo Clinic, medications may include low-dose birth control pills that contain a combination of synthetic estrogen and progesterone. The doctor may also prescribe the form and which is an oral medication for type 2 diabetes to lower insulin levels. This drug improves ovulation and leads to regular menstrual cycles. So that's something that she didn't mention here, is that, again, in my research for this article, is that if you have, or if you're taking contraceptives or birth control pills for ovarian cysts, that you are at a high risk of type 2 diabetes. But that's not the point. The point is the way this article was presented. I mean, listening to, and again, reviewing the Ms. Luke's transcripts, she's not really talking about sex per se. Or she doesn't mention really either are. I mean, other than the few examples of the medical conditions from her friends and stuff, but she does make it sound like a crisis. But here's where it gets kind of weird. Now, as you all heard, that Rush Limbaugh and a few others, and I got a few clips on that, got in trouble for commenting on Sandra Fluke's testimony. And here's Rush Limbaugh.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex. She's having so much sex she can't afford the contraception. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex. What does that make us? We're the pimps. The Johns. That's right. We would be the Johns. No! We're not the Johns. Well.
Yeah, we're not the Johns. But no, she didn't say anything about being paid for sex or tried to allude that her sex life is so busy that she can't afford to pay for the contraception. She didn't go there at all. But that's the way the article sounds. And that's the way her testimony sounds. And, of course, Rush Limbaugh later apologized, not for his words per se. I mean, he did apologize for using the calling her a whore and a slut. He did apologize for that, and he basically said that he didn't mean it as a personal attack. However, the media now was screaming for him to retire, and there was even one, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, they were talking about last night, and driving the truck. It's kind of hard to take notes. One of them actually wants him to do jail time for Rush Limbaugh expressing his freedom of speech. To saying his opinion. I mean, the problem is he just happens to be listened to by millions of people, and where he stands in his career. I mean, other people have called women worse things than this on the air, and nobody's clamored for their resignation. Nobody clamored for them to get off the air. But, again, you know, a lot of people don't like Rush Limbaugh. In fact, and if you take Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh is very entertaining. I like listening to him. I'll be honest. I'm not embarrassed of mentioning that. I enjoy listening to Rush Limbaugh. He's not a news reporter. He never claims to be. But he's just popular. He's an entertainer. And he knows how to keep the show interesting, and people have taken, especially in politicians, which I get a kick out of how many times Rush is quoted in Congress. Yeah, on the Rush Limbaugh show, he said this. It's like, who cares? Don't give it any power. But anyways, Rush did come out, and he apologized for what he said, and he had also, as a result, lost at least 9 advertisers so far. But he doesn't seem to be concerned about it. But he's not the only one that had something to say about it. But after Rush Limbaugh's comment, President Obama, had to come out and call Ms. Fluke, because he wanted to make sure that she was okay. The president called her to make sure that she was okay. Here's Mark Levin commenting about this.
You see, for the left, this 30-year-old adult who chose to go to law school, Ms. Fluke, represents what they stand for. Radical feminism, dependence, subsidies, victimhood, and cultural decline. Ms. Fluke, sadly, is a casualty, a pawn of the left, which is exactly why she was asked to testify, which is why she's all over the liberal news outlets, which is why Barack Obama called her today.
Now, Mark Levin makes a really good point, I think. But Mark Levin also makes a very good point when he brings up later in his monologue, has anybody heard of Brian Terry? I didn't, not until Mark Levin brought it up. Brian Terry is a U.S. Border Patrol tactical team member who was shot in the back by one of the Fast and Furious AK-47s that, thanks to the U.S. government's little undercover sting thing, while he and other agents were in a firefight with Mexican bandits and was severely wounded with a bullet which severed his spine and the main artery in his heart. He managed to call for assistance, and within minutes a helicopter arrived. However, he died on the way to the hospital. Did President Obama call the Terry family? No, he did not. So is this where our priorities are as a nation? Are we more concerned over a woman's right for free contraceptives versus a soldier or somebody who died protecting our borders, and especially as a result of a failed program like Fast and Furious? What are your thoughts on this? 646-721-9887. Give me a call. Participate in the program. And if you have, you can comment on this or any, or take the show any direction that you'd like to. 646-721-9887. Help me not make today a monologue. And I don't know, what's your opinion on that? To me, I can understand in a way, I can't, the priorities of our country, why the president of the United States is concerned whether or not a woman who went and testified before a panel invited by Nancy Pelosi, and because she got insulted by a huge name like Rush Limbaugh, why the White House would be so concerned over that they would call Ms. Luke and, "Are you okay?" It's like, what's next? Is there going to be a congressional hearing over Rush Limbaugh because of his words? Is somebody going to actually file an FCC investigation? If they're going to do that, then they're going to have to take every conservative talk show host and include that as a class action. Because the majority of them that I've listened to feel the same way that Rush did, although they won't use the same words. But that is just where it feels like it's going. $3,000 in 4 years for contraceptives. Like I said, where is this country going? And to make things kind of related, speaking of sex, Viagra, whether you take it or not, we've all get spammed by emails about Viagra. We've all seen the commercials with, oh, happy Bob. Bob's having a really wonderful day. He's smiling. Good thing he's got white teeth. Can you imagine that commercial if Bob actually had dead teeth? Bob is smiling today because he knows when he gets home, and as soon as he opened up his mouth, you know, half his teeth are missing. I could just picture that right there. But anyways, I digress. Cleveland Senator Neer, you love this, introduced a bill that would require physicians to take specific actions before prescribing such drugs like Viagra, to include a cardiac stress test to make sure that you are healthy enough, because it does put stress on your heart and increase blood flow, but to make sure that you're healthy enough and to make a referral to a sex therapist for confirmation that the patient's syndrome, EDS, are not solely attributed to one or more psychological conditions. Think about that for a moment. Yeah, honey, you know, I've really been having trouble lately, and I really would like to. But I have to go to the doctor, and I got to schedule a psychiatric exam. It's 2 weeks away. Hopefully I'll pass. And then we can get it on. I mean, think about this for a minute. Okay, I'm done. But it brings up a lot of stuff. And, of course, it gets better than that. The State Senator Janet Howe in Virginia sought an amendment requiring doctors to perform a rectal exam and stress test before prescribing erectile dysfunction drugs. Think about that for a moment. You know, you're going to get a rectal exam for erectile or okay, there's a picture I don't even want to go. You're going to go in the back door to make sure the front door is working. Yeah, okay. That brings images that I don't even want to go there. Sir, are you having trouble with erectile dysfunction? Here, let me... Whoa! Okay. Ms. Howe says that I think we should have just a little gender equality here. Well, Ms. Howe, you can stick it where your erectile exam goes. Similarly, a bill in Missouri would also only allow vasectomies to protect a man from serious injury or death. I'm sorry, sir. They got to go. Yeah, God. And, you know, the thing that's... It's funny, but it's sad. Okay. I'm going to assume I'm back. The internet went down. And... Like I said at the onset, that wouldn't be surprised if things happen because, especially with computers, it's never, ever tell a computer how important it is or how much you really need it. So we're back. I'm back. 646-721-9887. It figures that I'd lose internet connection as soon as I get onto a roll here. So help me out. Give me a call. I'm flying solo here today. So, and those that are listening later in the archives, later in the week, I'll go ahead and delete the edit out the long gap of dead air. 646-721-9887. As I said, Cliff is not feeling well today, and so it's just me and you. Give me a call, 646-721-9887. Hopefully everything else will keep running until the end of the program. And if you are coming to the program late, like I almost did, thanks to the time change. And what do you think about that time change anyway? Do you feel that it's necessary? In Oregon, we actually tried an experiment one time where we didn't, is at the beginning of the school year, where we didn't move our clocks back. And people were complaining that, oh my God, the kids were going to school in the dark. In the dark, mind you. How did we ever get to where we are as a nation? Before we had technology, you know, to light your room, you had to use candles and kerosene lanterns. That means actually using fire. That means when kids lit up the room, they had to go get a match. They had candles in their room. Today, we can't trust a kid with a lighter unless he's over 18 years old, it seems. But back then, it was commonplace. Kids actually wielded axes and helped chop firewood. They worked on a farm. 4 and 5 year olds worked on a farm. They performed physical labor to help the family. Now you can't even, because of child labor laws, go and work in the fields and pick strawberries. You can't ride a bike without knee pads and a helmet. Is that progress or is that just going downhill? I think it's going backwards. I think it's called the dumbifying of America. If you stop and think about it. mean, back then, our kids were brought up. In fact, even when I was growing up, I'm 56, so even when I was growing up, we didn't have Barney and some of the other stupid stuff. We could actually go on the playground and play with some of the equipment without the administrators worrying about that somebody might slip and fall and get hurt and get sued. Yeah, we even had those monkey bars or whatever you want to call them and merry-go-rounds that are banned today in schools. And that's the other thing, too. They're so afraid of having those merry-go-round things, but yet they have skateboard parks where you're riding a skateboard and a bicycle and you're going airborne and they're putting those in? I mean, where are you going to get hurt more on? Sitting on something that spins around in a circle? Or something that you're going to actually go, I don't know how many miles an hour, real fast and airborne and fall down on your face? But I don't know. I think it's pretty sad all the way around about where we're going. And that gets me to light bulbs. Yes, light bulbs. What's the big deal over light bulbs? Well, as somebody would say, you're smart enough to choose a president. However, you're not smart enough to choose your own light bulb. I don't know how many of you have realized this, but 2012 was supposed to be a major turning point for the old incandescent light bulb. For those who don't know what that means, that's the traditional light bulb that's got the little filament in it that usually breaks after, well, it depends on the brand name, but, you know, the one that goes ping and flashes you like a strobe light and you have no light. But anyway, it's a little tungsten wire. That's an incandescent light bulb. The government, our government, and there are some in worldwide too that have similar things going on, wants to phase out the incandescent light bulb. This year, 2012, was supposed to be the beginning of the light bulb ban as part of the 2007 Energy Independence and Security Act. Now listen to that title again, Energy Independence and Security Act. Where its point was, and it was supposed to happen this year, that it was supposed to make illegal for sale the 100-watt light bulb, with their goal is to fade out light bulbs all the way down to 40 watts, to phase them out completely. Although the deal was originally scheduled to go into effect this year, 2012, Congress struck a deal that overturns the new rules until the beginning of next year. So in other words, it hasn't gone away, it's just been delayed. California, on the other hand, has their own rules, partly because they're California, and they can do that, and they will do that. We'll fade out the use of incandescent bulbs by 2018 as part of a bill by the California State Assembly and signed by former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger on October 12, 2007. This bill aims to establish a minimum standard of 25 lumens per watt by 2013. Lumens are how light bulbs are rated in their brightness. The higher the number, the brighter the bulb, per se. Well, the alternatives, of course, which is the more popular one now, which is a fluorescent bulb, contains mercury. And if you read the instructions on how you're supposed to dispose of those bulbs, or if you drop and break one, it's a hazardous material. It contains mercury. You're supposed to take precautions on how to clean it up and on how to dispose it. So how many of you out there, send me an email if you're listening to this on the guides. How many of you out there, when you break one of those bulbs, go get the rubber gloves. Go take all the necessary steps to clean it up properly. Or when those bulbs burn out, because I bought a few of them, and they've all burned out. $6-$7 a pop, and I don't think they last as long as some of the other bulbs that we have. How many of you the proper steps to dispose of them? I don't. I'll admit it. I don't. That turns out it's in this baby. It goes right in the garbage can. I'm not going to make a special trip down to the DEQ to dispose of this light bulb. Hell no. I mean, there's an hour out of my day right there just driving to and from, not to mention the gas to do it. That thing's going right in the garbage. It's not that I don't care about the environment. I mean, get real. Well, anyways, the U.S. government has awarded the appliance maker Philips $10 million for devising, and get this, an affordable alternative to the standard 60-watt incandescent light bulb, which typically sells for roughly a dollar. More errors popping up on the computer. That's why my next computer is going to be a Mac. Now, the key word here is the affordable alternative. Okay. Their idea of affordable alternative is that this new light bulb will retail for $50. That's $50. Okay, now think about that for a minute. If you were to replace all the light bulbs in your house with a $50 light bulb, even though they claim that it will last a long, long time, how much is that actually going to cost you? 646-721-9887, if you want to chime in on here. How much is that going to cost you? $50 per light bulb. Let me think about it for a moment. Even if the thing will last literally 10 years, which is an LED base, so it may actually last for 10 years. But how many of you out there can actually afford one light bulb? I can't. I make so much money, you know, doing what I do. Yeah, right, I'm living in luxury. Right, I work 12, 14 hours a day. I'm living away from home so I can pay my bills and support my family. And you want me to go buy a $50 light bulb? I don't think so. 646-721-9887. Give me a call. Help me out here. But that's their idea, folks. That's what they think is going to help us. I mean, just like the Chevy Bolt, you know, overpriced, limited in what it will do. And they think America is just going to jump right in there and go with the program. Love to, if I could afford it. But if that's my only choice at $50 a light bulb, well, you can bet just like Prohibition, you can bet the black market would be selling light bulbs. Like the guy on the street corner in the overcoat. Hey, buddy, want a light bulb? Got some good deals on some 60 watters here. Hey, man, you got anything in colors? Yeah. Get right with that one. $50 light bulb. It's like when you break it down. I mean, just like the fluorescent light bulbs, the LED light bulbs, they all have extra components in them to reduce the amount of voltage coming through them, because an LED, for example, is a very low voltage item, typically about 1 to 1.5 volts. So you need components to bring 120 volts down to the voltage that the LED can take. And the same thing with the fluorescents. Fluorescents work by using a circuit, typically similar to an inverter style, which it takes 110 and drops the amperage, but increases the voltage to excite the gas in the tube. So even though in the long run they may draw less current, they're actually requiring more components. Nobody talks about that. Maybe it's not that big a deal. But where the government's going, and I wanted to kind of, as I'm wrapping down here, want to talk a little bit about, as you probably noticed, gas prices are going sky high again. And as usual, like last time the prices went up, we should have an investigation over price gouging. Why are the prices going up? Okay, we've heard this before. We've heard this the last time. Let's have an investigation. Let's make sure there's not price gouging going on. Why is the price going up? Well, why is the price going up? We are using less fuel. We have lots of reserves. We're drilling like mad in the Dakotas. In fact, they just recently said that they're producing, or the volume of oil available in the Dakotas is more than what's coming out of Alaska. But the excuse is because of the investors or the speculators, and the possible conflict that may arise overseas is what's currently affecting our gas prices. Again, pardon me, I'm trying to do two things here at once. But Ed Henry, correspondent Ed Henry of Fox News, asked President Obama how he feels about higher gas prices. And here's that clip.
You have expressed concern about this gloomstalk of war, as you call it, driving up gas prices further. Your critics will say on Capitol Hill that you want gas prices to go higher because you have said before that will wean the American people off fossil fuels onto renewable fuels. How do you respond to that?
Okay, well, you know, of course, what do you expect the president to say at that point and ask that type of question? Yeah, I want everything to be more expensive so people can't drive. Well, here's President Obama, he kind of, now this is just snippets of what he actually said. I didn't want to play the whole 2 minutes of it. But in a truly political style of not answering the question, in my opinion, here's one section about what he said in response.
Here's the bottom line with respect to gas prices. I want gas prices lower because they hurt families. Because I meet folks every day who have to drive a long way to get to work, and them filling up this gas tank gets more and more painful, and it's a tax out of their pocketbooks, out of their paychecks. And a lot of folks are already operating on the margins right now. And it's not good for the overall economy, because when gas prices go up, consumer spending oftentimes pulls back. And we're in the midst right now of a recovery that is starting to build up steam, and we don't want to reverse it.
Good response. That sounds really positive and hopeful. Yeah, the president's concerned about it. First of all, I'd like to know, well, the people that he talks about that he meets every day, you know, are generally the people in the White House. I bet you none of them are making minimum wage or less than $15 an hour. I don't know. I have not looked it up, and I probably am not going to take the time to look it up. But, you know, my point is when you think about the people who have an everyday interaction with the president, I know people, and a lot of people you hang out with are millionaires. You're not going to worry about that. But anyway, that his response sounded all warm and fuzzy. Yes, I'm concerned about it. I don't want the economy to go backwards, and I feel your pain. I can't do Clinton, but yeah, I feel your pain. No, you don't. But as his response continues, he kind of, in my opinion, does a flip-flop.
What I have also said about gas prices is that there is no silver bullet, and the only way we're going to solve this problem over the medium and long term is with an all-of-the-above strategy that says we're going to increase production, which has happened. We are going to make sure that we are conserving energy. That's why we doubled fuel efficiency standards on cars, which will save consumers about $1.7 trillion and take about 12 billion barrels of oil offline, which will help to reduce prices. And we're going to develop clean energy technologies that allow us to continue to use less oil. And we've made progress. I mean, the good news is 2010, first time in a decade that our oil imports were actually below 50%, and they've kept on going down. And we're going to keep on looking at every strategy we can to, yes, reduce the amount of oil that we use while maintaining our living standards and maintaining our productivity, and maintaining our economic growth. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that consumers aren't hurt by it.
Yeah, Mr. President, why is our usage down? How much does it cost you to fill up your gas tank now? It cost me $55 the other day to fill up my tank. $55. So how long it takes me to make $55? And with my hours, I can't use public transportation. They don't run one at the time I go to work. And I'll be damned if I'm going to ride a bicycle, especially where I live, at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to work. Forget it. And besides that, this is Oregon. It rains a lot here. You think I wanted to go to work? It would take me probably about 45 minutes to an hour to ride a bike to work to start my day soaking wet? No. I have to have a car. I'm sorry. I have an older car. My car gets about 20 miles to the gallon. Yes, I know there are more efficient cars out there. But again, the government thinks we can just rush right out there and buy a new car. Hell no. My 1984 vehicle is the newest car that I have. It works. It's paid for. It's got over 250,000 miles on it. My other vehicle, which is a 70 Datsun pickup, which gets a little better gas mileage, has over 400,000 miles on it. In fact, that Datsun pickup is the second vehicle I've ever owned, and my 84 vehicle is the third vehicle I've ever owned. I don't go out and buy cars every 3 years. I can't afford it. Yeah, I'd love to have a new car. But I'm sorry, by the time I get through paying the bills, like our household runs about $200 in electricity only, which includes the water, sewage, taxes, $200 a month. The electricity itself is $76. The water is $10 to $15. The rest is sewer fees, runoff fees. It's kind of like having the old landline telephone. You know, we used to have two phone lines going into the house from Quest. When I got the second phone line, this was back in the early days of the bulletin boards with computers, you know, dial-up modems. The second phone line costs the same as the first phone line, $12.50 a month. So you have two phone lines, you just pay an extra $12.50. Then they decided that you have a second phone line. In addition to the $12.50, we're going to throw a $5 penalty on top of that. Then by the time you get through adding in all the fees, the FCC fees, the connectivity fees, and that fee, that bill, that $12.50 a month, became a $50 bill per month. We're literally 60% of the bill, I figured it out one time, 60% of the bill went for taxes and fees. The taxes and fees were more than what you were paying for the product. That's one of the reasons why we got rid of all the landline phones and went to cell phones. That's why a lot of people are doing it. But my point is, Mr. President and listening audience, who would love to call me right now, 646-721-9887, we would love to be able to purchase things so it would save us in the long run, but you got to have the money first. You got to have the credit. We're running our country on enough credit as it is. Fuel prices, and I've heard very few people say this, and at last what caused a recession, they're saying it was the speculators and the housing market which caused which threw us into a recession. No. It was $5 a gallon gas, $4.50 to $5 a gallon gas, where people were literally having to make the decision of, well, am I going to buy food today or am I going to get gas? Well, food would be nice, but I have to get to work. I have to pick the kids up from school. And that's where we were at. So people stopped spending because there was no money to spend. oh, it was the housing market that caused it. No, it wasn't. I mean, yes, the housing market fell, and a lot of people went underwater. I mean, even my house dropped in value in the last couple of years from $175,000 down to $130,000. I'm still above water, thank God. But they're so out of touch with reality. I mean, yes, the speculators did help run up the price. There used to be circuit breakers in place when you were dealing with the stock market, that if the Dow jumped up over 200 points within a certain period of time, that there was a cooling off period. And speculators want that old rule to come back. I don't know why they got rid of it, but supply and demand. Well, the price went up at the pump, so demand went down. I don't think supply changed. However, speculators did run the price of crude up to $150 a barrel, which is why I got laid off at one of my jobs when I used to work in North Dakota. Kind of wish that I'm still there, to be honest with you. I made good money in North Dakota. The thing is, I used to be a lifelong Oregonian, never thought, oh, hell, I never get cold. Never wear a coat. Yeah, you don't know cold until you've been in the winter of North Dakota. Quite literally, you know, if you sped on the ground, by the time it hit the ground, it froze and shattered. Kind of a slight exaggeration, but that's exactly how cold it felt, especially when you got high winds and 30 degree below weather. Yeah, thanks, priest. But no, we're going back to it again, and some are saying that it would be great for our economy, great for the greenies. Let's bring it up to $5 a gallon. Some people think we should go $6, $7, $8 a gallon. Let's bring it up like Europe, $10 a gallon. Can you imagine what would happen if price at the pump right now is $10 a gallon? Do you realize how much it would cost in the stores to buy food? It costs a lot of money to freight that food from its source to its destination. People don't think that much. You know, you see these big trucks on the road, and you go, oh, hell, you know, they take it from here, put it over there. There are a lot of expenses that go into running that truck. And what a lot of people don't know, there is a lot of taxes and permits, a lot of rules and regulations, even in Oregon. Oregon is one of the highest priced places to buy diesel fuel. That PUC that you see on the signs at the fuel stations, you know, diesel, this price with PUC, that's Public Utility Commission's fees. It's a separate per mile fee that trucks have to pay just for using Oregon freeways. It's a little bit more than some states, and it's also a bigger pain in the butt because it's, you know, Oregon has to do something different than everybody else. But it costs a lot. And then as the prices go up, the profits go down, and then soon trucking companies can't afford to pay their drivers. And with the recent regulations that are going to go into effect next year, 2013, is going to limit even further how many miles are the time that a driver can be on the road, and that's going to increase the cost of goods. But it's all to be green. Anyways, 646-721-9887. Again, if you're listening to the archives, if you have any comments on the show, if you'd like to participate on the show, if you're a blog talk radio host and you'd like to come and co-host with me on one show, send me an email, talk@krbnradio.com. I'd love to have you. Hopefully, Cliff will be getting better, and maybe he'll be back next week. You know, our prayers go out for him. It's very frustrating, especially a stroke, where things that you take for granted, like even just reading a monitor, becomes a chore to do. And I won't go into a lot of details, but yeah, you know, Cliff has been, on recovering from a stroke, has been pretty rough on him. And hopefully this recent episode is just going to come and go, we hope. But our prayers are out for him, and hopefully he'll be back next week. But like I said, if you're a Blog Talk Radio host and you'd like to come on the program and help me co-host, again, send me an email, talk@krbnradio.com. Even if you're not, and you have something that you'd like to come on the show and help out, or you have something you'd like to kind of let people know about, again, send me an email, or just send me an email and say hi, talk@krbnradio.com. But we're out of time here, and be back again next Monday, 1 p.m., so I hope you'll join us. And again, if there's something in the news that of interest, send me an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We'll talk about it. And better yet, give us a call. Don't forget, if you haven't changed your clocks, don't forget to change your clocks. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the Like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.